Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Today, we're going to be talking about life shortcomings, as well as taking your calls for on-air readings, but I think we're going to be reversing the order today. Normally, usually, about 90% of the time, we discuss first and then take our callers, but because we started a little late today, I think we're going to be taking our callers first and getting to the second portion of our discussion, which we began on Wednesday, later in the show today. So we're going to be getting to callers in just a moment. 914-338-0164 is our call-in number. And callers, listeners, we do invite you to join us on Facebook and on Twitter and on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow us here. You can like Neil Baker Psychic. You can follow Neil and Kristen Baker. We appreciate if you're on Facebook, you do both, and support us, because this is the way we support you, by offering our services here on the radio. So pressing that like button shouldn't be too much to ask. 562-596-7818 is the number for further conversation than the radio show can accommodate. And I think let's start calling. Callers calling. We're not calling. We're taking callers. And our first caller is 618. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Not very well, actually. Thanks for asking.
Okay, what about now?
That's a little bit better.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
First time caller.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Felicia.
Felicia with an S?
Yes.
Okay, we write all this down, so sorry to... belabor, but we write down our callers. We make notes. So writing your name down. And Felicia, what were you going to say?
I just have one quick question.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you see romantic love in the stars for me?
In the stars? Well, let's talk about the numbers. What's your birth date?
11/27/72.
Okay. 11/21, and she's a 30 equals 3. Okay, and so you are 44. You just turned 44.
Yep. Yes,
happy birthday.
Is. Thank you.
And you know, just out of curiosity, Felicia, what happened in 2002?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2002. Can you go back to 2002?
Yeah, we can. I don't remember anything significant that happened.
Any move or relationship change, something like that?
I mean, I went through a divorce, but that was like 2000. I don't know if that...
Well, that's kind of around that area.
Okay.
So you were kind of entering a new phase of singlehood. But, you know, that's not terribly important. Your karmic number is 30, and your master number is 3. So your life goes in increments of 3, and she's hitting a change in the year, right? 45.
Well,
should I add that up right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
she's 44. She's not quite there yet.
Right, in a year, I said.
But the divorce in the year 2000, Felicia, was when you were 28.
28.
And 28 in your numerical value is actually 7 plus 2 plus 1 plus 1 plus 10 plus 7. Now, that's your birthday code. Because as we go through your birth date of 11/27/19/7, we get the number 28 when you were going through your divorce. So therefore, at the age of 30, there might have been a clearance. There might have been an approach to somebody else coming in. Mm-hmm. So you would have had a relationship somewhere near or around or somewhere in a stone's throw from the age of 30. There would have been had to have been somebody in your life. Maybe not that important, but at least there was some indication of a male interest. Now let's go as close as we can to 30 to figure out who this person was. So go back to 30, and you can throw a little time around here, not too much, but give me the person that you were involved with after the divorce.
Long term. You need first name or
no? Anybody. See, what Neil is saying is that it can be anybody, even a small, what seems like a small relationship to you, something that's not so significant, is actually probably very significant in this discussion. Felicia.
Okay. Floyd.
What's
is that?
That
a name?
His name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Floyd.
Yeah.
So that was in 2002 or around that time.
Actually, 2004.
Oh, 2004.
Well, 2004, what probably went on, Felicia, between 2002 and 2004, you were getting ready for this person. Now, during that time, there would have been some bank issues, money issues. Forgive me for prying, but you could just say yes or no. Did the divorce itself involve any? Some divorces are pretty clean, you know, they're done with. Others there's financial problems, difficulties, whatever. Would you say that your divorce from your husband resulted in some sort of financial conflict?
No, not really. It was a very clean divorce, so.
And between the time that you divorced and the time that you were 32, did you yourself go through any financial difficulties?
I was a college student then, so yeah, with two kids, so yeah.
What years were you in college? Just out of curiosity, Felicia, what years did you go to college?
From 2000 to 2006.
2006.
Okay, now, is there anybody in your family that, let's look at your whole family for a minute, because, you know, we are on the topic of your relationship.
Yeah, because she wants to know about love.
You may not.
We're going to get there.
You may not think we are, but, you know, I'm going into the DNA of your psyche, so I'm trying to figure your question out. That's where I'm going, okay? Did anybody in your family or around you that was ever involved in sociology, social work, social welfare, government, anything like that?
That was around me. I mean, it's weird because I actually majored in sociology, so I don't know.
Well, that's it.
I picked
up by functioning class with it. So,
Felicia, mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. is your first time calling. So you're dealing with the real guys here. Chris and I are the real guys. So what we're determining, because we don't know you.
But I'm not a guy. I'm not a guy.
You're not. Relationship's off. Okay.
God, Carl. Jeez.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We're trying to entertain, I guess.
Yeah, I just found out this news today.
No.
I've been with her for 4 years.
Five.
It hasn't been four?
Oh, well, I guess it's four.
Who was with you, me the year prior to you? Oh, we'll talk about that.
Oh, God.
Anyways, Felicia.
He's digging himself a nice little grave. Yeah. So he can crawl out of later.
Folks, this will be the last show we have. The idea, Felicia, is that the element of me picking up sociology, when you were talking, I felt sociology. So even though I kind of brushed around the issue, I really felt in the heartbeat of it that it was you. So that's where we stand. Now, having gone there, that's how we investigate energy through psychic probing. Having gone there, you are actually going to be in a relationship. Now, this one coming up is going to be very interesting because the person is, well, you're going to be very happy with him on a physical level, either the way he looks, his ability to be physical, you know, emotional, loving, sexual, all that will work. He'll have a little bit of edgy darkness to him, but nothing that you couldn't live with. Okay. It will be more intriguing. He's more like a character that you would meet at a mask ball, dance with him. He'd be wearing that little mask over his face, and you'd be very intrigued by him. But basically, you'd be saying, I like his energy. I've seen some romance here and intriguing. Now, was there any back in the family, any alcohol-related problems in the family background?
Yes.
See, so now we go backward. We take a step backward. I get validation. I now move present, now move future tense. This is going to be an intense relationship. So you know, how do we get there? Well, you know, I can't promise that it won't come in before the age of 45. If we get it before 45, we're in luck. If we get it when you're 45, that's more around the time. Now, that doesn't mean we're not building up to it, because I feel that there were two men that kind of broke your heart. I don't know. I'm getting like two men that kind of broke your heart after the marriage. Were you, since the divorce, have you been at least with two other males?
Yes. Yeah.
And did any of those males, liberally speaking, did any of them break your heart, disappoint you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The one, the name that I gave you. Yeah.
Floyd.
Yep.
Sounds like he was a plumber. But anyways. I'm just kidding. I'm making you laugh because, you know, the thing, you like to laugh. So the thing that this guy will make you laugh coming up.
Okay.
You see, when we do readings, we absorb people's energy. We get to feel where they're coming from, who they are. So, you know, to answer your question, in romance, you have one coming up. Anywhere between now and the age of 45 or during the age of 45, that's not a long time. There's going to be an exchange or something about animals, a dog or a cat. I don't know. Have you ever had a pet? Do you have a dog or cat now?
No.
But you have had pets.
Yes. I've had both.
And what? Pardon?
I said I've had both.
Have you ever had an armadillo? No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, what we got? Did I hear a child in the background?
No, I'm at work.
I know, I heard that too. It sounds like a baby's cry.
Was there ever a child or a lost child or a divorced or any children around you?
Now?
No, hasn't.
Have there been?
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're getting, these are short readings, what we're getting is that you're bound to have a relationship coming up very soon, somewhere within this year, if not next year, and it's going to be pretty exciting. You know, that's what we can give you at the radio reading.
Okay,
Felicia.
There
well,
love in the stars.
Sounds like it's coming up. So, you know, just hang in there and keep us connected, we know. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
You're awesome. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much. You have a great day, too. Okay, 985 is our next. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Kiana, and I'm calling from Louisiana.
Is that K-I-A-N-A? It's really hard to hear you, Kiana.
K-E-O-N-A.
K-E-O-N-A. Oh, I'm sorry. That was somewhat close, but not quite. K-E-O-N-A. And you're for calling from Louisiana?
Yes, ma'am.
They're always so polite in the South.
Well, you have to say ma'am. Ma'am is part of the, it's just built into the language.
I know, I know.
And I'm from the South. I got a habit of doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's nice. Okay, so
out here in the West, you would have said, yeah, what of it?
Oh, that's rude down here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. There's more courtesy in the southern states.
Maybe,
but anyway,
more cowboys out there.
There's balance between. We're more liberal here. There's more courtesy there. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kiana, what's going on today?
I was calling in reference to my love life.
Another love question. Okay. What?
In reference to a relationship that I'm dealing with.
Okay. To a relationship. Okay, let's get your birth date.
August 3rd, 1979.
1979. Okay, 11-21, and she's a 37-10-1, right? Is that right? 37-10-1.
Yeah.
And the person in question, who, what's his birth date?
September the 2nd, 1972.
So, you know, it's interesting, and I was noticing this. He's a 30 equals 3, right?
Yeah.
I was looking. His birth date has some similar. I mean, he's born the same year as Felicia. There's some similar things going on. The 9-2, you know,
yeah.
11-27. So our former caller, Kiana, was born on 11-27. The person that you're questioning here on the radio show was born on 9-2, which is actually Felicia's 2-7 put together 9 and her 2, her month 11. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the birth date, the year is the same. And they're actually the same.
8-3 and 9-2.
Huh? They're
11. Yeah.
Right, but what I'm stating is they're the same karmic and master number too. So there's some similarities in the birth date. People group together in tribal, they're tribal groupings of people. So people calling on the same day with similar connections, birth dates, is not surprising on the radio show because, you know, past lives, you never know when they're going to come up. So what do you think, Neil?
Well, you know, Kiana, you're both... You're an 8-3 in your month and day. He's a 9-2. That adds up to an 11. Both of you guys are 11s.
Right, in their karmic site.
Your years are interchangeable. His 70, your 9 is 79. Your 7 to his 2 is 72. You're a 1, and you are 37 years old right now. So you are right at the change. You're a big change right now.
Mm-hmm.
He had a change at the age of 30. His master number is 3, which would have been 2002. When he had a change. And the challenge you have, Kiana, is that the you're compounded, meaning that your master number goes from 37 to 10 to 1. This fellow that you're interested in, 30 equals 3, that's a simple 3. 3 and 1 is a broken heart. Now, there's elements in the relationship you have with him where it has been mended and broken. Mended and broken. So far, is there any truth to that?
Yeah, that's true.
Now, the idea being in that is that you have a past life with him. Now, guess what? You had more than one past life. You've had more than one past life with him. And in each past life you've had with him, they're all grouped together in this lifetime. So the relationship of all the past lives that have been there and broken, and then another past life there and broken, all surmounted into one big grouping in this lifetime where you have an off and on relationship.
Yeah.
It's difficult because you love him and then you don't love him and then you do, and then it's split up and then he comes back. It's a raging river. You know, some rivers are calm, they're lakes. That's what a lake is. And then there's rivers that just are always in turmoil, but the water's flowing and there's something to appreciate about them. Your relationship with this man has more rapids and river in it, even though it's water, water-based, meaning emotional. There's tears, there's frustration. Am I hitting anything correctly so far?
Yes.
So even though it is a relationship that is cemented by karma.
Because of the 11s, I mean, that's where they're getting the problems.
Mm-hmm. And then the 9-2.
Nine, right, being there a year.
The last two numbers are his month,
right.
Or his month and day. Even though it's a relationship cemented by so much, I don't know if it's ultimately the healthiest one for you. What's that?
It's not, but it's just love that's just there.
It's also, you know, the 9-2 is also his first and last, not only his month and day, but it's 9-2 first and last.
But the, you know, what happens to us is that we get familiar, we get comfortable with turmoil.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we forget what it means to get out of it, because getting out of it is scary too, because we have to sort of release ourselves and go into a world where we're kind of alone and maybe things aren't happening the way they should, and we get desperate again, so we go clinging back to what's familiar.
Right, because if we're raised in turmoil, it's going to be harder to break a pattern of turmoil in a relationship in our later years.
Yes. So your best, if you want our good advice, the best advice we can give you is to remove yourself and get through the passage of isolation or desperation and move on to find your next suitor.
Go ahead.
But if you don't and you go back to this person, you're going to have turmoil. You might have a relationship, but you'll have turmoil. I don't know if that's the best way for your life to work.
She just turned 37.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Yeah,
she
So.
So Kiana, Kiana, what do you think about that?
What would be the best solution? Yeah, my daughter just came. What would be the best solution that you could say about me trying to help with me letting go with it?
Well, you know, wow. Because, you know, I get the emotional part and I get the attachment. I get all
that.
We're both,
that's what I think that's the main thing that we both have is the emotional attachment to each other.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I understand it. That's a real attachment. There's nothing to minimize about that, you know. And that's what makes it hard, because there's so much reality based in that attachment and closeness, if you will. But you know, sometimes what happens is you've got to be bold, bold and determined. And when the feelings come back to you that warrant you to go back, you have to aggressively fight off. So it takes a certain amount of coldness, which you're not. You're not a cold person. So it's going to be opposite to what you are, and you're going to feel very uncomfortable with yourself. But, you know, life goes on, and you have to sort of look at your life and say, you know what, I'm not perfect. I can't be perfect. I still have a good heart, and this might be a hard detachment, but I have to figure out a better way to have a relationship with a different person. And this might hurt, but I have to move forward. And the best way to do that is to be determined and just move forward and be the best person you can while you're doing it. That would be the basic raw material of moving forward.
Okay. I just got to push the person out of my mind. But like you said, I'm not a mean person. So when a person usually call me up, telling me about what they got going, I usually listen and try to be there. And I'm just too kind-hearted.
Well, you know what? It's hard. You either learn to be his friend and let him accept it on that term and don't get sucked back into it and be his friend and keep your heart close, or you say to your heart, forgive me for letting go. I want to keep my good heart in my life, but I got to move on. And you move on. You know, it's a form of codependency and co-attachment that you're dealing with, not having a cold heart.
Okay.
Okay, Kiana. Hopefully that helps you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. All right. 805, this is Cheryl.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Cheryl.
Anyways, oh boy, Neil is so good. I can't believe it. You know what? He's like the best, I got to tell you. I can't say enough. So I'm calling because I just want to see, we've been talking about property, and he warned me last week that things are going to get worse before they get better. So I just had that happen, actually. And so what I'm wondering, though, is the buyers of this property, I feel like there's some, like, game playing going on and people really aren't approved for the loan and there's avoidance and stuff. Should I try to close this property with these current buyers or press on quickly to somebody else? Are you picking anything up?
Well, what do we have? You're 7766?
Yeah.
You know, if you close with these buyers, there might be an element of counting of considering your losses, if you want to call them that, or figuring out that you didn't get as much out of the deal as you could have. But the benefit from that would be that you have closed it, you're done, and you're not carrying karma to the next deal. If you decide to hold on to it, the gambit will be that you might get a better price, but you're going to have to pay the price of holding on to karma.
The gamble?
The gamble. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, these people offered full price. It's like they switched the buyer on me. One of the, you know, two people that were buying it, they switched it. Now we're out of the total inspection period, and they came back to me out of the inspection period saying, we want you to do more. We already negotiated all the repairs, and I've done, like, 28 repairs. I've done, like, oh my gosh, and now they're saying we want you to do more and more. So it just seems like I've never dealt with flaky stuff like this. So
no, you haven't. Like, but you see, Cheryl, that's where your losses are. You can set a certain amount of budget to doing what, like maybe one more repair, and that's what I mean by considering your losses and closing it finally, and you're done. You'll still have a profit.
Yeah. You think these people can get it closed then, the people that I'm currently working with?
Yeah. Say, look, I'll do one more thing. Take your pick of what you want me to do. Make sure it's within the budget of what you're allowing. Consider your profit, do it, and get it over with. Say, you got your choice. I'll do one more thing. You know, you want three or four things done? No, I'll do one more thing. Let's close the deal. We're compromising. Consider that it might have cost you, but you're still leaving with profit and you're done. That's what I would suggest you do.
Okay.
That make sense?
Yeah, okay. I think that's what I'll look at doing then.
Yeah.
Okay, always great advice. Thank you so much, you guys, and you know, happy holidays if I don't talk to you, but I'm sure I'll be back.
Okay.
Okay, sure. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Okay, so we reversed the show a little bit today. We didn't talk. Gosh, I'm having a deja vu right now.
You are?
I really am. Yeah, it's weird. Why am I having deja vu?
Astral stuff.
Yeah, we'll be discussing deja vu in our upcoming book.
Kristen's been having a lot of dreams where she's entering the astral realm and speaking with spirits and souls. And she was sharing with me some of the information about what it's like to go into the astral realm and actually talk to people who have crossed over, but they're stuck.
They're stuck.
So what happens is, you know, people like us, when we go to sleep, they love talking to our souls because we have the ability to hear them. So, yeah, I mean, when you leave the body, you know, and you go into the astral realm, some souls will be like, we don't need you. You know, you're not going to help us. Oh, but then they go, oh, God, you're psychic. Oh, you can hear us. Oh, you can help. They'll attack you like mosquitoes at a swamp. And, you know, that's just what you're experiencing.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, you know, when you open up this world and start to, you know, I don't think I don't think I was astral traveling every time I slept, you know, say 10 years ago. And I don't think everybody does. You know, a lot of people have psychological journeys in their sleep. So now it seems like a nightly occurrence that I'm actually leaving my body, which is great. So it does increase for sure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when you work with the third eye long enough, it's going to pay you back. You wake it up long enough. It's like a kid, you know, you wake him up. He finally gets ready, goes to school. He may groan and bitch about it, but that's what happens. You aggravate your third eye enough and get it to wake up. Oh, once it's awake and out of bed, you'll have fun. You're traveling all over the place. You have to learn
how to control the car. Exactly. So, you know, some of the places I've ended up in the astral realm haven't been the most wonderful destinations.
Well, you know,
sure,
the problem with the third eye is it's wild. The third eye is a wild thing. It loves to go for joyrides. And boy, you know, when the third eye is, it's like a dog, you know, you let go of the leash and they're running around crazy. They keep their eye on their master for the most part. And the third eye has to come back to the body because it's silver cord. But if you don't learn how to control your third eye, it will run rampant. And if you really want to know how to make your third eye go crazy, drop acid. You'll see that it's dangerous.
Right. So I was going to say that too, Neil, is that developing the third eye, opening it in a healthy way, as opposed to, you know, and this has been diligent, consistent work in my example, you know, in the last intense years we've been involved together, working on it daily rather than using a substance to open it very quickly. I mean, it's going to be a totally different experience. And then there's more organic experience and, you know, journeys into the astral realm.
I would never recommend opening up the third eye through dropping acid or taking drugs. Never.
Because you're not going to have the opportunity. I mean, like we're talking about for me, and we're going to get to our caller 775 in just one moment. Being able to, you know, it's starting to communicate with spirits who are requesting help. That's not going to happen if you're opening your eye through a natural means.
Well, you'll get spirits.
You'll get spirits, but you're not going to be able to
help.
Exactly. It's not going to be the same. You know, you're not going to be prepared to actually assist if you're opening your eye in an unnatural way.
You'll get a darker entity the help will turn into havoc.
Okay, so let's bring on this 775 caller. Who's this?
Good morning. My name is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
I am calling in. I have a question.
You are calling in.
Yes.
Where are you calling from?
It's early. I'm calling from Nevada.
Oh, you're on our timeline here. We're on the West Coast too, so in California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we're
it's
early
for
me.
Walk.
Huh?
I said a gorgeous morning here, just out for a walk. I guess I need another cup of coffee though.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that way too, and I've had two, so that's where I'm at.
Okay, well, my question is, my husband, after about 25 years with the same company, was laid off the end of May.
I'm so sorry.
And it has been, that's life, isn't it?
It is.
But thank you. We've been able to hang in there financially. I'm not really sure how, but we have. He's been looking. Yesterday, two very possibly promising prospective jobs have come in. One actually back at his old company, kind of sliding back into the role he was in. And the second one from a very large corporation who actually contacted him. He has applied with their company before. They have flagged him as a good candidate. They contacted him yesterday and said, hey, we think you might work out for this job. Why don't you apply for it? So after about 5-6 months of nothing promising, these two have appeared. I'm hoping that you maybe have some good news that one of these might just work.
One of these, I'm not going to, but I want to get the birth dates.
Okay.
What are your birth dates,
Kim?
Your birth
my
date
birthday
and your
husband. My birthday is June 12th, 1960.
Okay.
His birthday is July 8th, 1955.
55. Okay, we're going to add these up real quick. 7, 8, 9, 19, 25, 7. And 15, 25, 35, 8. Interesting. I got.
Yeah.
I wrote down your husband's karmic number before you gave the birth date. Actually, I wrote 5-3. His karmic number is 35, and he's an 8. That's.
But you see, their numbers, respectively speaking, is the month and day of the husband. Kim.
Yeah, 6-8.
Mm-hmm. I hope your husband
is. Wait a second.
They're 7.
Oh, 7-8. Yeah, the master number, the karmic number.
I hope your husband's name isn't Kipling.
No.
Okay, good. So we're not talking about any. I like the book.
Sorry, that went right over my head.
Kipling wrote Kim.
Mine too.
Oh.
Oh no, Kipling. Well, shame on you guys. Kipling is
Kipling Report.
Writer.
Rudyard Kipling.
Yeah.
I know the writer, but I just didn't know the
book.
Book
called
Kim,
which was considered one of the top novels. It's a little bit biased in caste system and stuff like that, but still a great book. Read Kipling, folks. Idea of let me ask you something, Kim. Where in your world so far has there been any connection to electricity, electrical problems, someone who might work for electrical department?
Nothing comes to mind, with the exception of my son-in-law, who works at the university in the electrical department.
That was cute.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
No one except him who works in the electrical department. So that's what it was.
I know. Do find that odd?
What do you find odd?
That I would be asked about him because of the connection between my son-in-law and myself.
Right, but
what is that connection?
Gosh, the connection is based on unconditional love. We are on opposite sides of the world, as far as our views, our outlook on life, our beliefs. But I have a deep respect for him as a husband and a father. So.
Nice mother-in-law, that's for
you
sure.
Have a deep respect for you have a deep respect for your husband, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Kim, is he a father?
Yes, he is.
So we're on the same page. Don't worry. The way we work is a little bit crazy, but it works. So if you're thinking, I want to know if my husband's going to get a job, and we go around the corner and ask about your son-in-law in the electrical department, we're good at tying things together. That's what we do.
Okay.
And good psychics are good detectives, but they do it with a probing psychic eye. We're psychic eye detectives. So what we think here is that probably your husband's going to get the job. Now, the problem that's going on with your
husband. But which job? Because there's two in question, right?
The second one. The one that came second is more likely than the first.
Not going back to the old job, moving forward into a new company is probably the best. Can we ask what he does yet or not?
What does he do? Yeah.
He is computers. He has a degree in computer science and systems analyst, and that's been his whole career.
Is the electric world.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Kristen works with computers and these kind of things. I don't.
No, I don't work with. Let's just rephrase this. I don't work with computers. I use a computer. Neil doesn't use a computer, so me using a computer is working with a computer to him. I don't work with computers.
So
I'm not a technical.
We're miles apart on that. She tells me to hit a button and the whole thing goes out. I don't know how to work.
Blows up.
Yeah, but she can work with them. But sometimes when they're broken and I press a button, they work.
They work.
So,
yeah, he's good at getting it revived.
I can do okay. Now, the idea that your husband works in the computer world, your son-in-law is actually in the electrical company, suggests this: they both come from a past life tribal connection.
What's the son-in-law's birthday, just for fun?
Oh, it is November 1985, I do believe.
Okay. Well, hopefully 6, 7, 6, 7, 32, 9, 5. 19. Yeah.
So, you see the, the 8 and 5. Yeah. The attitude between him and your husband, your husband's an 8, he's a 5.
Right. And that's
but
in
that's
year.
Located in your husband's day and year. Which
well, no, it's in his year. The son-in-law is 85. 8 and 5 is the son-in-law's year.
Yeah, it's yeah, that's true. That's true. And that adds up to 13.
And the husband's first, eight and five.
And that adds up to 13, which is your month and your husband's month added together. Now, I don't know, Kim, I think that it's going to be the second job. I might be wrong. I mean, I've been wrong before, but I think it's going to be the second job. And, you know, it's going to be a nice salary. I don't want to discuss figures on the air. That's your business. But I've got them in my head. But it's going to be
sometimes we discuss salaries on the air, but you don't want to do it on the phone.
Some reason, I don't want to do it, Kim.
We don't have to.
Well, you can. I'm open to anything.
Hold on.
Kim, do you want to reveal anything about do you want to say something, Neil, about salary first before she reveals anything?
No, not yet.
Okay. Should I ask her?
Not yet. Wait a minute.
Okay. we're kind of on hold here because Neil decided to go to the door. We just got a package delivery. Sorry about that. Neil, we're on a radio show.
Priorities, you know? Oh, that's too funny.
Kim?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you something. In the element of the far range of salaries, because salaries can be... We're running a telethon here. Salaries can be far-ranging. So don't worry about the figure I give you. It doesn't have to be accurate. But right now, does 80 to 85,000 have any significance to you as any kind of figure in your life?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, absolutely. Where does that figure come from?
from his previous job.
Okay, so that's what I mean. I didn't want to probe, but you gave us a signal that we could. And
yeah.
So, and you know what? Think of it. The 85,000, which I wasn't thinking of.
No, I know.
It's the master numbers. But the 85,000.
Of the son-in-law.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But it's also his fire number and the year 55 is
right.
Five. So.
But, that's right. Figure came to me as a money figure, not a birth date analysis. So we're determining that you're probably it could go up to 95 to 100.
Oh, you're breaking up. I'm sorry,
I think
breaking up.
Oh yeah, it might be your phone if you're on a cell.
I am. I will stand still out on my mountain. I will not move. Okay.
Okay, then we'll tell it on the mountain that you are probably going to be, it could go up to anywhere. We were saying that the 85,000 came as a figure of money, not as a figure of the birth date, even though it's in the birth date energy. But it came up
right.
as a figure of money. It's also a shared figure between your husband's master number and your son-in-law's. But aside from that, the figure came at me as a figure of money, not as a figure of birth dates. And so I'm thinking that maybe he could be offered 95 to 110 on this one.
Okay.
Maybe. But anyways,
right.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. And Kim, do you work?
I do not. I was blessed enough to always stay home and raise my 3 kids. And now I have an even, well, not bigger joy, but equally joyous to hang out with my 2 grandbabies. So... to answer your question, no, my life is always...
Well, you work. You worked as a mother, but, you know, outside the home is what I meant. I should have been
right.
specific.
Right.
Okay. Just wanted to get that note so we have your little
well,
history here
I
for the next time you called.
Kim, have you ever in your life ever been in any reading group, you know, library, books, mysteries? Were you ever a reader?
I love to read. I can never get enough of whatever it is I'm into. Do I belong to groups? No, I am not a group type of person. I'm kind of just like being on my own, to be honest with
you. That's fine. That's fine. But the energy of you being a reader and reading vivaciously.
Voraciously.
Vivaciously,
that's like.
No, voraciously.
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 You said vivaciously.
I said vivacious. That's two.
No.
Didn't he say vivacious?
Vivacious.
I can't hear very well.
No,
she's
like neutral. She's like Switzerland.
I had a speech impediment, so everything I say, you know, it just goes in one end and out the
other. No, it's amazing what a speaker he is, considering the speech impediment he had. But
yeah.
Sometimes there's a little confusion on a few words.
I really learned how to talk at the age of 58, so I'm doing pretty well.
You're
but
doing
anyway.
Fabulous.
Thank you. So anyways, Kim, it's pretty good news. You know, I don't want to be too cocky about it, but it's pretty good news here. And incidentally, is this our last caller?
This is our last caller.
Incidentally, have you had any trouble with the chimney, clearing it, anything in your chimney home?
No.
Do you have a chimney?
Yes, I do.
Do you live in a rural? Where do you live?
We live in a little community outside of Reno, in Sparks, Nevada.
Oh, Nevada. Are you in an area where there's pine trees or a little bit rustic?
My immediate area, no. But I'm half an hour away from Lake Tahoe. I'm looking at Mount Rose right now, so that is surrounding me, and that is.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what I'm seeing. Have you ever had a cabin or any other property?
No, we have relatives who have had cabins at the lake, but we have not.
Okay. Well,
I'm up there every week. I make a trip up there every week just to enjoy the beauty of it.
That's why it's coming in.
That's why it's coming in. Now, I don't, you know, for some reason the word chimney came in. So I don't know why chimney brought me to you going to Lake Tahoe and going up there. And do you stay at a cabin when you go up there or a tent?
No. We do camp. We tent camp during the summer. But like this time of year, I was just there 2 days ago. And I just go up there and drive and look at the snow and really just the beauty of it with no intent of doing anything but just going for the day.
Okay, well, I don't know. The chimney has led us to Lake Tahoe, which is an interesting topic, but I don't know yet if there's anything else regarding that. I'm not going to alarm you, so don't worry. Nothing about this is serious. Don't worry about that. Any small little house fires, stove fires throughout your life?
No.
Okay, I don't know what the chimney is yet. I'm intrigued by it myself. I don't know where it's coming from. Have you ever had any birds nesting around you or anything?
No, not nest. I mean, we have birds in our yard. I mean, when you say the word bird, though, the thing that came to my mind is my mother lived with us for about 5 years in our home and passed away in our home. And moments after she passed, a flock of birds, numbers that I can't even count, flew over the house, and that has always stuck with me. So when you said bird, that was my thought.
Okay. Then I was going to mention Santa Claus, but I'm not going to. your mother's spirit is around the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's what it is. And I don't know what she's alluding to in terms of the chimney, but I don't know yet where she's going with that. That would take a deeper conversation. But she's there. Now, could it be residual energy of her spirit having left? And she left a little bit of an impression. That could be. It could be a little bit active, too. But I don't know. There might be a deeper analysis here where the active energy of the spirit may still be around the house, especially if you've dislocated, if you've lost any jewelry or misplaced any jewelry in the last 3 years, anything lost, anything missing, anything that turned up, anything like that happen?
No.
Well, you know,
not besides, again,
No. Have you bought any jewelry in the last 3 years of any particular nature?
You know, my husband buys me a bangle every year for our anniversary, but that's about the extent of my collection.
No, that's enough for me. There, I'm dealing with a spirit that's vaguely trying to reach out to me, your mother.
Oh.
Is it your mother?
It could be my mother or my sister-in-law, who I feel strongly each and every day.
Okay, I don't know which one it is. It's a female, but I'm
thinking the chimney linking to the birds.
I think it's the mother. You may feel your sister-in-law, but I think it's the mother. Your sister-in-law, did she die from cancer, sister-in-law?
No, she did not. A heart attack.
How about mother?
Mom had Alzheimer's for 10 years and ultimately was taken by cancer. Yes.
That's it.
It's the mother. Mm-hmm. The mother's in the house. Your mother's spirit is actively in the house. I don't know what she's doing there, but she's actively in there, and she was reaching out
cleaning the chimney.
When she was younger, was she a clean person?
No, not overly so, actually, no.
Well, she's cleaning a lot on the other side. She's probably driving everybody crazy over there. But your mother's energy's in the house is what we're determining.
Absolutely.
And Neil was making a joke. People don't clean on the other side. We're going to the things that people say about what spirits do on the other side, it's not like Earth. So he was being facetious in that example.
We did have Mom, like I said, we had her here with us in our home. In fact, she died in her bedroom with myself and my husband and my children, literally laying on her, helping her go gracefully. And every time I walk by her bedroom, which I have to do every time I leave my own bedroom, I kind of look over and say, "Hey, Mom, how you doing?"
Yeah. Real quickly, in the area of the family, anybody named Rose or Rosalyn or Roseanne or anything?
Two people. My mother-in-law is Rosie, and my daughter is named Dana Rosie.
Oh.
Yeah. Your mother's actively in the house, so you don't even need to think she isn't there. She's there. She's a communicator actively. So, you know, good.
So you got a little bit more than you bargained for, Kim, today on the show, but hopefully that was enriching to you.
Gosh, you guys, yes, what a gift. Thank you. It just made me happy, really happy.
Oh,
thank you.
Good. You're welcome. And we'd love it if you followed us on Blog Talk Radio or on Facebook those links are there.
Kipling would love it if you read Kim.
I will go home and Google that right now.
Yeah, she's a reader. You probably enjoy it. Okay, thanks, Kim. Happy holidays.
You know,
thank you both.
He wrote the Jungle Book.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
wow.
Right.
Okay, I will check into it. Well, thank you both.
Pick
thanks
up
so much.
That too. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Kim.
I will.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we're back on the air Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers and listeners. We will get to another topic perhaps on Wednesday since we didn't do it today. Bye.